And good afternoon once again. And it's interesting, we've sort of stirred the debate up once again about the rules and regulations, let's say, of Dubai, in particular dress codes, what to do and what not to do. And this was sparked by a story that just came out of The National, I think, today about the fact that they're going to be giving out booklets on the do's and don'ts of what to do. And we've had a number of questions, and we were actually asking you, what do you think can be done? What more can be done to educate people as to the culture of the UAE, and again the do's and don'ts? And a number of messages have come through, some one quite funny one. I'm not think I can read it out, actually.
Yes,
it's quite funny.
Do it, read it.
You do it.
my system is all wobbly.
Oh.
It is.
Okay. Okay, it says, ignorant chavs do not read. Fine them for flashing their flabby bottoms, tramp stamps and cleavages.
What is a tramp stamp?
I think it's a tattoo.
Is it?
Yeah.
I've never heard that before, actually. Another one of our listeners says, I'm an expat, and to be honest, I think the media is good on emirate requirements, and those that ignore it are generally either completely ignorant, as you were saying, Robert, or more likely showing complete lack of respect. And then another message saying, we could have leaflets and booklets about every aspect of life here in the UAE, but at the end of the day, nothing is enforced. Well, that I suppose is the other side of it, as we said. I mean, it's kind of too late when you've arrived at a mall wearing very little.
Well, sorry, Melina, talk. Sorry,
no, please,
I apologize.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's a difference between a law and respect and culture and tradition.
Mm.
It is not illegal, but it is offensive and it is a disregard for people.
Mm.
So talk of enforcement is difficult in that aspect. You are relying on people. You know,
I think it's a code of conduct. Now, I don't know what the legalities are, but there is actually a code of conduct that for the UAE, as I understand it, I've seen it. And I don't know if that's actually connected to the law or not. We don't have to get a legal expert.
I don't think it is connected to the law, Sharon.
Right, okay.
It's just assumed that people would be clever enough to kind of take it on board and follow it through.
Melina, sorry.
Well, I think sometimes people can enforce it. I think they have the right to legally have the right to enforce it. But I have an idea. You know, in Greece, when let's say you're going to visit a church or a monastery and you're wearing shorts and that's not allowed, you're actually given something to cover yourself with.
Yeah.
So why don't we have a bunch of nice people standing at the door, and then when someone comes in inappropriately dressed, you kind of just
give them a
put
cape.
A sarong
give
them on
a them. Cape.
Yeah, give them a cape, hide them.
A
I think
sack.
That's nice. A sack, yeah, exactly.
They do the same thing in Italy, St. Peter's, and you actually do get this huge grey sack-like garment, and it's so embarrassing to wear it.
Yeah, that's
that
exactly
you will
it.
Never forget the experience, and you'll remember the next time you've got to be anywhere at all
that's
that requires
it. Dubai government,
proper
we have the solution.
Dress.
This is what happens now at Sheikh Mosque in Abu
yes,
Dhabi,
I've been.
All there as well.
Which is absolutely fair enough, but everyone wears that. I mean, I went just recently with my parents, and you know, I specifically said to them, you know, long sleeves, long trousers, which we went wearing, and I brought a scarf as well. We all had long trousers and long sleeves, but you do still have to wear an abaya and a scarf over your head, and it was fine. It was all part of the experience, and it was absolutely fine. I didn't mind that at all. But yeah, what an interesting solution. What do you think, everybody? Do you think that's a good idea? Would it work? Little, and you'd have to give a deposit.
Yeah,
so that you'd get it back.
Hand it back.
End. Yeah,
it's just kind of a polite way of saying, you're not dressed appropriately, please.
But just before we went to break, Melina, sorry for interrupting, I was saying, you know, it's also beyond the dress code. It's just behaviour, full stop. And there's the, Robert was saying that it was covered by the sun, the couple that were canoodling in the back of the taxi.
Oh, yes, right.
And were naked by the time the police came to kind of rescue the driver, who was hugely embarrassed. Where does that happen? Where would you absolutely imagine that in this country
know.
You could do that?
But also
or anywhere
but
else.
But we don't
Carla,
know
don't
the truth,
But Carla,
though, do
don't forget that if this is what I think sometimes gets lost in the media coverage of this, if you do that in England, you are going to be arrested.
Of course you would.
I don't understand what
indecent
the difference
exposure.
Is. And the way that, you know, these stories are reported in a kind of shock way. Look what happened in Dubai. If you do that in Leicester, you're going to be arrested.
Yeah.
So what on earth is the difference?
No, I know.
I'm not understanding
it,
yes.
To make, I think. A couple more messages coming through. Thank you for those. We'll keep reading them out. When travelling to Singapore, this is an interesting idea, in the plane, they always announce that the drug trafficking rules and warning people. Yeah, they do. I mean, it's death, actually. And I always, when I used to travel to Singapore, I always, I don't know, for some reason, I always ended up having chewing gum in my bag. And oftentimes I'd take it out and then I'd go, ugh, because chewing gum's illegal, apparently, in Singapore. I hope I'm not saying something wrong yet. Yeah, it is.
No
one's agreeing with me.
I think it's illegal to spit it on the sidewalk.
I think it's illegal to chew it.
I don't think you're actually allowed it.
You are allowed it.
Did they sell it?
I have no idea, but I don't believe it's illegal to sell.
I'm sure you can chew in the privacy of your own home.
Oh, okay.
I'd be surprised if that was an issue.
Can anyone help me out on that, please? Anyway, moving on. So they're saying, couldn't they announce in Plains here that a booklet with general codes of conduct will be given and they should pay attention to it? Very good idea, actually, even if there was a leaflet in the plane itself, that they've both been warned to read it and they actually get it. No real excuse to not know.
Or even, we all have to sit and watch the videos.
The landing video.
For a very long time, often. Yeah. So they could be included in that.
And
being a tramp stamp.
Is a tattoo on the base of someone's back.
There you go.
Isn't that funny? I never heard that before. Being a long-term resident, it's irksome how the dress code is ignored. The mall staff should be empowered to advise offensive dressers that they should cover up or they have to leave. You know, that's really interesting. That's come through from Tess. And I must admit, there's been a few times, in fact, I think it was last year, where I had some visitors in town, took them up to the Burj Khalifa, as you do. And in the lift, there were some tourists, I believe. And I was just absolutely shocked by what they were wearing. I mean, like the shortest of sort of hot pants shorts and a crocheted see-through top with like a kind of bra top underneath. And I was kind of, should I say something? Should I? And I was like, no, I better not. And, you know, and I'm wondering if others have felt that way, that I was kind of trying to find a way to say it and I didn't want to be offensive. And so anyway, I ended up not saying anything. And I just wondered what the response would have been if I had. And I wondered, would you tell someone if you passed them in a mall that, you know, that's not really the way that you should be dressing?
Personally, I wouldn't.
No,
I definitely
exactly.
wouldn't.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I have very recently, actually, I walked and somebody was wearing something really, 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 really inappropriately short. And I'm quite tolerant of, you know, mini dresses and stuff, as we all are. But, like, there's a line that's crossed. And I'm like, wow, she's not going to have much fun walking through this mall. And I just turn around. And that's the thing. Like, don't they feel weird? Because I know that, you know, you could get quite harassed, really. You know? So that's what I find strange. It's kind of like, you know, it's for your own benefit not to cross that line.
As well as everyone else's.
But I don't know.
A couple more messages. Gray says, why not put large notices on advertising hoardings at the airport? It's a long walk from arrival gate to passport control. Very good idea. Thank you for that. And, oh, thanks very much. Mark has said that it is illegal to have chewing gum in Singapore. They don't sell it over there. See, wow. There you go. If you ever try and be like, to
there
Singapore.
Today's learning. Yeah. Last week, two weeks ago, we were walking through the Dubai Mall and they had the overhead signs.
Yes.
Were advising people to dress correctly.
I had not seen that before. That was new, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Keep the messages coming through. Thank you very much for those. Joining the conversation, 4001 is the text message number. Let's move on now and ask Robert, what is your first story?
Okay. A bit of nostalgia talk this turned into before the show. We don't have a TV rating system in the UAE, so exact figures on who is watching what and when. But a system started this month. It's called TVIEW, and it works on the same system as most of these do around the world, which is it takes a sample of, in this case, I think it's 400 families, and there's a box in the house, and it shows you what you're watching, when.
So does the family have to agree to have this box in the house?
People have been chosen on the basis of demographic and ethnicity and income and a whole range of formula.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that when you sit down to watch television, you type in your number, which corresponds to who you are. So the data is very accurate.
Mm.
And this then feeds back and this helps advertisers and programmers and viewers as well to know what's being watched. Now, this is welcome because there's nothing now, and companies, advertisers have to do their own research to find out what they should be paying and when. But my concern is that the way that we consume media now has changed so much that the validity of these figures, I think, has to be questioned right from the start. I mean, people of a certain age, of which I include myself.
You looked at Carlo then when you said that.
I'm trying to be inclusive and get a kind of bong.
Sorry.
Get a kind of bong. I'm obviously not looking.
Glad you weren't looking at me and Melina.
We will remember, I would imagine, that if you wanted to watch a programme, you went home and you watched it on the time that it was on, and if you missed it, that was it.
That was it.
Yeah, of course.
And this is the reason why viewing figures for programmes in the 70s and 80s were 20, 22 million. And now they're 5 and 6, because anybody now who's 18, that's a concept which is completely baffling to them. You watch a programme when and how you want to watch it.
And there's obviously various different ways and means you can do that as well. Download, box sets, you know, the whole sort of...
But I think for anybody of the generation below, I'll say mine, so not to offend anybody, the concept of having to watch a programme when it's listed in a newspaper is completely baffling and alien to them.
A newspaper listing is baffling and alien.
I remember, Melina, here's something.
The TV Times
and the Radio Times. Yeah. And you would actually mark the programmes you were going to watch.
I do that when I go home still, because I don't have TV here. And my parents just have normal TV at home, so normal TV. Old-fashioned TV. But how do you think that's going to help?
But for example, I mean, the BBC iPlayer, which archives all of the BBC shows, is enormously popular. So you don't need to watch your favourite show when you are told to watch it. And people don't. And why should you? You know, why should you? You can't. I mean, we did used to have our life determined by when EastEnders was on, for example.
Before your tea, and now that doesn't matter anymore.
And everything has changed. So I think to try and judge what people are watching purely by these figures is extremely hard.
This is purely for advertisers, though, is it?
Well, I would say
predominantly.
It will be made available, obviously, to the industry as well, so they know who's watching their channel or otherwise.
But they'll also be looking at, they'll also be looking at kind of splintered behaviour across other channels. I would imagine that's a key part of the analysis that they'll work on, though.
Of course. But I think now that people are much cleverer about finding their data and what's working. And I think looking at social media, certainly the way that Twitter hashtags work and spikes work, I mean, you know, this is why these are pushed so heavily, because now if you are going to an advertiser and you want to prove how many people are watching your show, the actual headline viewing figure may be very low. So what you have to try and explain to them is the kind of impact that your show, how many people are talking about it, how many retweets do you get, how many YouTube hits do you get. And it's much more complicated data collection system than just saying this many people are watching this. I mean, I know now in the UK they do eventually include your iPlayer views in your views, because how many people watched it at a certain time, if it was on against something else. I mean, if anything was up against England against Italy on BBC Two, the other BBC channel, that would be it. But you don't have. But how many people watched it the following day? And this is the way I think now that people are getting much cleverer at how they gather data about who's watching what than simply the initial first showing.
I wonder if they'll have that for radio as well.
I think that will be on its way as well.
So is this something that's being implemented here?
And
how do they decide who to fit the box? I mean, do they fit it onto your system?
Or? Yeah, this has been done by a company who's been charged with setting the system up, so they have a fair reflection of the makeup of the UAE.
And who's commissioned this? Is this the advertisers then? Or is it the television companies?
It's networks together, or whatever? Yes, and the governments are involved as well.
Right.
And do people, are they okay with it? Like, that's another aspect of it. Like, what if I don't want people, Big Brother, knowing what I'm watching?
Well, then you wouldn't have said yes to having the...
So then they need to find people first who are I'm okay.
I mean, if this is 400 families, I mean, these systems always work on a very low
base. It doesn't seem very much at all.
Yeah.
But, you know, I remember, this might be wrong and I haven't checked it, but I seem to remember in the UK it was about 1,000 people, 1,000 homes.
And they were the ones that this is the way
that it works, yeah. But this is the way most opinion polls are drawn from very low
samples. That's why I would take it them all as a pinch of salt, unless they worked in your favour.
Is the UAE the first to set up this
in the region?
Is this the same thing that remember there was this whole fiasco where Oprah asked everyone to turn on her show during, I think it was like the NFLs, and there was like a big no-no that she did, because she was like, especially if you have the box, and she tweeted that, and then she had to delete it, and then it was just like a big
no-no that
she did.
Why?
It sounds plausible. Well, because it'd be artificial.
Because she's
artificially
like
increasing the rates.
Boosting the viewer figures, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I think that's the story that she said, you know, please turn on to Oprah, especially if you've got this box thing. And then it was deleted off her Twitter account, because someone obviously was like, no!
The damage was done. The increase was there.
Time for another quick break. We'll be back after this.